Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Terrell Oblushi, James Kalawea, Joey Devine, Nusser Omer Abaid, Mubarak Hassan Shami, Sean King, Daham Najim Bashir, Duhay DeGranja, Patreons, Tixamista Lisa, Donka Tixamista, Danielle, thank you Danielle, Colin McGowan, thank you Colin, Chi-Chi! Thank you, Chi-Chi! Guest, Kate Bush! And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with another episode. Well, I should say I am back with another episode. Sean is traveling with another episode. Sean, where are you right now? That is, of course, my best friend, America's Uncle Dad. Well, I guess I should say Qatar's Uncle Dad, Sean Keen. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I'm in the beautiful city of Doha.
Mm-hmm. And that is where?
In Qatar.
Oh, I thought Doha was that lady who was in racial chat rooms
showing feet. She's showing feet. Joey, I am Qatar's favorite uncle right now. Mm-hmm. Because I befriended some Australian children at someone's home last night.
Jesus Christ, you cannot stop. Wherever you go, you're like the Pied Piper of injuring yourself on trampolines.
That is true. I managed not to hurt myself, but I was a little winded carrying the three-year-old up the stairs, and then I was like, that's not a good sign.
Sean, do you remember that time?
For next week.
You went to my parents' house on the 4th of July, and we played basketball with children, and you somehow managed to bleed from the face while we were playing basketball with children.
Yeah, how did that... I forget how that happened.
A basketball hit you in the face and you were wearing sunglasses and the sunglasses somehow cut the bridge of your nose.
That's what happened. That's right. Why was I wearing sunglasses?
It was very bright. I mean, it was like 10 a.m.
Anyway, that's right.
Happy 4th of July. Happy...
Thank you.
So, Sean, how... Is it normal You're going to climb Mount Everest. That is what you're doing right now.
I am going to climb Mount Everest. I'm going to be the first podcaster to climb. I'm going to be the first basketball podcaster to summit. Not Everest necessarily, but an Everest-ish peak.
Uh-huh, yeah.
reaching the base camp. I'm going to say hi to my friend, John Krakauer, Edmund Hillary, too. Mm-hmm. Danny LaRue. Danny LaRue is going to be up there. There's a rumor, and I don't know this, but when there's a really truly sensitive piece of information, Brian Windhorst comes up to the mountain and he whispers it to the mountain. So aggregate, it's at a certain altitude. Things can't be aggregated.
So I'm looking at, I just looked up, has there ever been any celebrities who have climbed Mount Everest and made it to the summit, which you are not going to do.
I'm not going to do that.
What I can tell you is English actor Brian Blessed has made 3 attempts to climb Everest without using supplementary oxygen.
But he hasn't made it.
In 93, he almost managed it, reaching 8,600.
Oh, man.
And then apparently award-winning Argentine actor and musician Facundo Arana summited Mount Everest on May 23rd, 2016 at age 44.
That's pretty good.
And it looks like that. This is the worst answer I've ever seen. Someone said the real celebrity that made the summit of Mount Everest is Sir Edmund.
Oh.
Eat shit. Celebrity.
I mean, he's on money and stuff. So yeah. And actually that's why I got confused. I had read that Hillary was really revered, and now I have literally 500 prayer flags that say I'm with her that I'm taking to the right. top, and now no one's gonna understand it at all.
I hate you. All right. You know what I hated more though, Sean?
What's that?
Today's basketball game. But we'll talk about that in a second. First, we should do some business. Patreon.com/roundrockpod is our Patreon where you can hear bonus episodes. Sean, you put up a bonus episode this week with our friend Big Corbs.
I did.
What book did you read?
We read the book Unguarded by Scottie Pippen, and he was not very revealing. But also, Corbin, for the second time in podcasting, tried to get me to engage with his weird Amanda Knox theories. So that was very exciting.
Anyway, you can hear that at patreon.com/roundrockpod. You can follow us on Twitter @roundrockpod, or you can email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. Sean, we have an announcement. Friend of the show, Matt Lieb, is getting married.
Oh, congratulations, Matt.
So I just wanted to play this for him.
And congrats from Dunked On Again on your nuptials.
All right.
Wow.
There's that.
That's cool. He must be a fan of the Fraudcast.
Sean, yeah. The Fraudcast, which I believe their Sopranos pod is ending, and it ended with a really great song about AJ Soprano. I don't know if you heard it yet, Sean.
I have heard that one. Yeah, it was really good. Evanescence.
I don't know why we're plugging the Fraudcast. We're friends with Matt, but whatever. Sean, I want you to tell us what's going on here on your trip so far. We sort of went over it, but where did you watch Warriors Grizzlies tonight?
Oh, I watched that in a hotel room. I watched Game 4. Mm-hmm. So I flew to New York City and hung out with
they go to Qatar.
Two children. Yeah. I mean, And then I met up with my friend, and then hung out with his son, and then obviously the uncle spot. So we watched the Celtics and the Bucks. Al Horford's big night from his apartment, and he was live betting very small amounts on the game, and ended up winning a trifecta.
Your friend's son?
No, okay. Just my friend. Sorry,
well, that's too bad.
He will tell you the scores, and
I was like, send that kid to the OTB. Yeah, that's what they have in New York. All right, keep going.
It was kind of tight. He asked his mom. He's like, okay, Boston, Milwaukee. Who do you like, mom? And she goes, neither one. anyway, we took a flight. We then went to the airport, hoping that we could watch in the Qatar Airways lounge at John JFK. F. Kennedy International. Yeah, that are named after the president. the president's son, who tragically died in the that flight.
No, he's not dead, Sean. You know this.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's coming back. He's going to come back and arrest
Trump's future vice president.
He's going to come back and arrest all of the groomers any day now.
Yeah. So actually, that whole airport is actually a false flag operation. but we got there, and the Airways lounge was closed, as was every business and restaurant in the terminal.
City that never sleeps.
So we watched the game on a small tablet. I think it was an iPad, like sitting in just some random seats.
Wasn't one of those like NFL Surface Pros that has the hand grips?
No, we had one of those, but I got so upset at the lounge closed, and then I just spiked it on the ground like Tom Brady.
All right.
Got so mad. So that was a little bit of a weird experience, because I was watching that game on a tiny screen where neither team could score. And for some reason, the airport's music was so loud, and the song that they played the loudest was How Bizarre.
It's a pretty good song.
It's not a bad song. I've just never heard it like reverberating through an international terminal. Yeah.
Where were you?
I'm sorry.
You know what I'm going to say before we... Sorry. I'm sorry you continue your travel story.
Yeah.
I would say, if you made me name the player that most looks like he sings How Bizarre in the NBA, I would choose Dylan Brooks. So it makes sense. In the hot... I was bricking threes everywhere in the hot sun. All right. Keep going.
I hurt his arm. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. All right. Well, you can't write these. You can't write. You've got to save this, Sean.
You're right. Right. Sorry. That's gold. It's gold. And then anyway, we flew like 12 hours to Qatar. Got to the airport. Sorry. Got to our hotel. Did a little bit of work.
Have you seen any of the World Cup slave labor yet?
No, we've seen, I think I'm going to the stadium. There's a stadium that's built out of container ships that I believe they're going to ship to Africa afterwards. I think we're going to visit that later in the week. There is a track and field event called the Diamond League, and I had no idea what it is. It's in, like, everybody's staying in our hotel, and there's all this, like, it's clearly for athletics, but I thought it was about cars, because there's a big replica car in the lobby of this hotel, but that's just like the hotel's thing.
Sure.
They have there's a lot of old cars there. So I guess that's a track and field event that's going to be there. I was too late for the Asia games, but and then I will be visiting Education City later today.
Is that like,
I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a feeling I'm going to look. I don't want to get in trouble with the government here, but Joey, school kind of sucks.
I'm actually not allowed in Education City because I opted to work at the Bubblegum Shrimp Company instead of continuing my college education. All right.
It's never too late, Joey.
It's feels pretty late.
It might be too late.
You know
what?
It's not too late for. Man, we have talked a lot about not basketball.
Yeah.
What it's never too late for is reader mail.
Yay!
This is Round Ball Rock reader mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it reader mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right, Sean, what do we got here?
So we got a question from John L., who asked, would going to Disney World or Land with one or both Lopez's be really fun because they know so much, or really annoying because they know too much?
This is an easy answer, I think. But our friend Beeps had an answer. Why don't you read Beeps?
Yeah. Well, let me also just say it's both Lopez's, okay?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Like, we're going with both. Our friend Beeps had a good answer. I don't mean to jump the gun, but I have some insight into that question. The wife's fam grew up in Florida and at one point had season passes. My first time was with them. Full disclosure, I am not a roller coaster person. Experienced Disneyers have a plan, and they will flat out tell you Tom Sawyer Island is a waste of time, even if you just want to ride a boat and get a turkey leg. And if you'd like to see the world at Epcot and check out Niagara Falls before running straight to Mexico for a marg, be prepared to hear nothing happens in Canada.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry Beeps had that experience.
Yeah.
But
although I would say you should check out the Hall of Premieres with the animatronic leaders of Canada. It's pretty good. Except the Justice.
Yeah,
it's questionable.
You're gonna make the same joke. I'm sorry you had that experience, Beeps, but I gotta tell you, as someone who has been to both Disney World and Disneyland before, I do not have this problem. So I would really enjoy knowing all the secrets from the Lopez's. It would be really fun. It would be great. They'd know when to get in line for stuff. Like, last time I went to Disneyland, that new Star Wars land had just opened, and we didn't get to go on either of those rides because we missed, like, the Fast Pass time. And by the time we tried to go, it was like you couldn't make any reservations and the line was 2 hours long. That would never happen if you're there with the Lopez.
No. The only thing is you would be searched constantly to make sure that you were not stealing merchandise. Yeah.
Like Robin.
Again, that was just Robin's dealer.
Yeah, but Robin just bought stolen Disney goods. He didn't steal anything. Sean, what's your answer?
Definitely both, but I think you do have to like run herd on them a little bit because they're so into Disney lore that I do think you would end up like, the problem is I understand what Beeps is saying about experienced park goers. They might be too deep in the lore and they'll make you go to the Tiki Room, for example.
I love
and
the tell Tiki you about, Room though. All right, anyway, keep
it's
going.
So it's really boring though.
I love it. It's like being in a time machine.
It is like being in a time machine. That's true. But yeah, I feel like you might have to sit through some rides that aren't that fun because they have historical significance.
I don't care. I'd have a great time. My one worry about going to is there's going to be a lot of bickering while me, and that would be the only annoying thing, is the two of them at each other's 45-minute line for the Jungle Cruise.
Well, also, imagine, say it's just you and the Lopez twins.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You're riding next to one of those behemoths on every two-person ride.
Yeah.
Because they're not sitting together. Mm-hmm. I don't think they even fit. So, you know, say goodbye to your personal space.
I mean, I did see Anthony Davis on the Harry Potter ride at
yeah, and you were yelled at. You tried to take a picture?
I tried to take a selfie of myself with him in the background, and his universal handler was like, don't do that. Anyway, but he looked insane on the ride. Like, it's not built for people that big. Anyway, Sean, we have two fun reader voicemails.
Oh, great.
We got to play the phone drop and call us on the phone at the number in the description of this.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for Movie Times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342. Please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
Okay, Sean, let's start with the older call first. Our friend okay. Greg, a Utah native, a Salt Lake City boy, one of the hosts of the Brigham Young Money. When the Utah Jazz were unceremoniously kicked out of the NBA for the rest of the year. That's how I'm going to describe losing your season ending now. He decided to call us on the phone and tell us how he was feeling. So here's our friend Greg talking about the Jazz season.
Hey, boys. It's your boy, Greg. I am in beautiful St. George, Utah right now. And the grass is green. The birds are chirping. There's barely a cloud in the sky, and you know what? I feel like celebrating because I never have to watch this godforsaken, miserable, sclerotic Utah Jazz team ever again. And that makes me incredibly happy. I'm free. You know, at the beginning of the season, the Jazz dropped a hype video, and they used Nina Simone's Feeling Good. What? And as the song goes, it's a new dawn, it's a new day. And little did I know that it wasn't actually a hype video for the season. It was a hype video. It was a foreshadowing of this off season, because it is a new dawn. It is a new day. I don't have to watch Quinn Snyder have an aneurysm on the sidelines anymore. I don't have to pretend that Mike Conley is a passable point guard in this league anymore. I don't have to watch Donovan Mitchell be the NBA's version of Dirk Diggler. And I don't have to watch Rudy Gobert stroke out on live TV like he's Ron Paul every time he catches the ball on the post. Guys, I'm free. It's amazing. You know, earlier today I bought Stevie Nicks tickets. And as she said, sunshine only happens after it rains. And buddy, this season was a downpour. And so I am going to sit for the rest of the off season and bask in the sunshine. I'm going to go drink some beers poolside in a minute. I just ordered some Al Pastor tacos. And life is good because, once again, I am free. Have a lovely rest of the playoffs and go Grizzlies.
So, yeah, that was Greg from the Brigham Young Money podcast. And, of course, we forgot to mention, and, of course, at Unsalvageables.
Unsalvageables.
Utah Jazz podcast with Sarah Todd. Although I assume, based on his demeanor in that call, I don't think he's going to be doing an episode of that podcast for quite a while.
It sounds like he's free. Yeah.
My one thing I want to say to Greg there is, like, I love it. I love everything about that call, except you lied to us. There's 0% chance the hype video was to a Nina Simone's version of that song. It was to Michael Bublé's version of that song. You know it, Greg. We know it. There is no way it was Nina Simone's version. All right.
He's feeling good too, but you know, maybe. Yeah.
It is a new day. And it's a new dawn for Michael Bublé. For any wedding DJs out there, when you play the Michael Bublé song when the bride and groom come out, just remember.
And congrats from Dunked On Again on your nuptials.
All right. And Sean, we also have a friend of ours called because I asked him to. Mm-hmm. Our friend Josh Gondelman, who everybody knows. He's a celebrity of sorts, I would say.
He works for Deesis and Miro.
Yep, he from the Make My Day podcast, from the book Nice Try, from his comedy album, which I can't remember the name of right now, but you should get it because Josh is really funny. He tweeted something, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And that, look, I'm going to tell everyone I follow right now, if I follow you on Twitter, if you tweet something serious, similar to this, you're going to have to. But Josh tweeted, at Josh Gondelman tweeted, after seeing all the ads during the NBA playoffs, I'm a little curious about what the show Animal Kingdom is, but sadly, there's no way to find out. And look, if I follow you on Twitter and you tweet about Animal Kingdom during the playoffs, I'm going to make you call us on the phone and tell us what you think Animal Kingdom is about. Mm-hmm. So here is Josh's theory.
Hello, this is friend of the show, Josh Gondelman. I've got some ideas about what the television show Animal Kingdom might be about. Here's what I know for sure. It is a TV show or a prank, but I think it's a TV show. It's on TNT, and it's about to have, or in the midst of, its final season. I only ever really see the ads, like, out of the corner of my eye, and then I look up, and I see, like, kind of tough-looking guys. I want to say it's like a cross between Sons of Anarchy and We Bought a Zoo. Like, it's about a bunch of bikers that buy a zoo and are like selling the endangered animals illegally, and so it a lot of violence ensues. Truly, my best guess, not remotely a joke. I will never know the answer to this question, sincerely. All right. Thanks. Good talking to you. Bye.
Josh is the most polite man on earth. He said, talking to you to a voicemail. There's no one nicer than Josh Gondelman.
You know, he only has one more season to find out what we are facing. Yeah. The final season. So, I don't really watch TNT when the basketball season isn't on, so I don't really know how you'd find out either.
Yeah, I also don't know. We'll never know. And luckily, we don't have to, because, again, if you tweet about Animal Kingdom and I see it, I'm going to make you call us on the phone. But if I don't see it and you have theories about what Animal Kingdom is about, we have only a round and a few games left to make this joke. If you're listening, call us on the phone and tell us what you think Animal Kingdom is about. Sean, we've got some news.
All right. Yeah. Woo-hoo.
Do that.
Oh, okay. I almost did it longer, but I was like, maybe the connection. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Here's the news drop.
What stop are we making?
Dodger Stadium.
The Academy? Why?
Not the Academy. The stadium. I'm going to get you vaccinated, Harry. You're eligible, and I get the feeling that if I don't help you get it done, it will never happen.
Look, just take me home. I can get that done on my own time and not waste yours.
Nah, we're going. Get it done now. Trust the science, Harry.
I do, but there are a hell of a lot of people who deserve it ahead of me. Besides, you need an appointment.
Ballard pulled the badge off her belt and held it up. Here's your appointment, she said.
Whoops, sorry, that wasn't the news drop. That was an excerpt.
Bosch from, getting vaccinated?
That was Bosch getting vaccinated from the newest Harry Bosch book. Here's the news drop.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. Where do you want to start with?
Let's start with the most important thing that happens in the NBA season. Something that we argue about all year long, all summer long. We people take straw polls. There's computer scientists trying to model the results. We do our catch up every month on this show. You and I submit our 18 player ballots. The MVP award gone to Nikola Jokic.
I'm actually not allowed to talk about this because at one point on our podcast, I said, fuck Josh Giddey, and they took away my vote.
Oh, right. That was weird.
Yeah, everybody's still talking about it.
It's so crazy. I also,
even though it was just a dumb joke that someone who I don't even like made, but don't know why we're talking about it still.
Yeah. Remember when I said up yours, Michael Carter Williams? Yeah. And they took my house. I don't have a house anymore because of that. But Joey, why did Nikola Jokic win this award?
Because he is white.
Yep. Yep, because of the Serbian bloc in the voting community. No, people like it.
No, it was blog boys, bro. Anyone who follows the eye test knows that Devin Booker was the MVP of this season.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did come.
Go ahead.
He did come in fourth. Yeah. He got a second place vote. That seems weird. Like, who do you think? The person who had Devin Booker second, who do you think they had first?
Embiid.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
This is ridiculous. Like, look, Nikola Jokic had, like, statistics. I know we hate statistics now, but, like, statistically, like, the most impactful season a player has ever had.
He was very good.
And Embiid was great, but like, just sorry, man, you just weren't better than Nikola Jokic this year. And guess what? Neither of those players are the best player in the MVP in the NBA. So who cares?
Right.
Giannis is the best player in the NBA.
Well, I thought you were going to say Jason Tatum, but I guess I will accept Giannis as well. It's weird, that people are actually going to making t-shirts about their resentment about Joel Embiid not winning an MVP award. Joey, can you imagine that? Your favorite athlete, someone who you built your whole personality around, are you going to wear a t-shirt that shows where Anthony Randolph finished in the Rookie of the Year voting in 2009?
No.
Like, I wouldn't. Why do you want to celebrate player not
Anthony
winning?
Randolph shirt, though.
Yeah, we should actually. Now that we're like, God damn it! All right, do you think is he crying on it?
Yes, of course he's crying on it.
But yeah, there is this idea. That,
no text at all. It's just his face, a drawing of his face, and he's crying. It's all.
That's it. Mugs, COVID masks, mouse pads. Yeah, there's an idea that the MVP voters hate Philadelphia, which, I don't know, man. Embiid came in second. He still finished ahead of Giannis.
Also, the city of Philadelphia famously had an MVP that wasn't the MVP one year.
Oh, you're saying Allen Iverson?
Yeah, Allen Iverson rocks, so and mad. I love him, but he wasn't the best player in the NBA that year.
Well, they also have the reigning baseball MVP, Bryce Harper, who people don't even really like in Philly. Mm-hmm.
Make baseball fun again.
I mean, look, I don't have a problem. That's not the strongest MVP award I've ever seen.
Sean, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Are people ever going to stop fighting?
No, people are looking at new ways to fight.
I think this should have been our top story. The amount of fighting we've seen in this playoffs for reasons is the worst. It makes me want to cancel this podcast, stop watching basketball, and walk into the ocean.
Well, Joey, that's why I'm unplugging and going to the mountains where I can clear my head and not think about fans sending videos to the replay official. Oh, like doxing.
And then when that doesn't, and when that doesn't work, they literally call the doctors on each other.
They call the doctors. I was like, they call the video editor.
Who's next? The fire department? Is that they're calling?
The fire department. Technically, John Morant was not on fire when he scored all those points. It was a controlled blaze.
Like fire chiefs. Oh man, there must be Twitter fire chiefs, right? Like guys that were volunteer firemen and like chime in, and they're like, "Oh, definitely there was some accelerant there." You can pretty much tell in that video.
Or like complaining about how they're not fighting how the fire's being fought incorrectly.
Isn't one of those famous Twitter injury doctors like a disgraced former team doctor?
I don't know.
They're like misdiagnosing things. Anyway, it's ridiculous. But yeah, people are just going to keep. And also, I feel like the players and coaches themselves have been pilled.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yes. Like that really weird Chris Paul situation. Where he was going to fight a child.
Oh yeah.
It was like someone, it was like the story was like someone punched Chris Paul's mom.
Yeah.
And then it was like this kid kept tapping Chris Paul's wife on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, I think you should probably be kicked out if you won't stop.
Yeah. If you're being
tapping
annoying.
Chris Paul's wife on the shoulder. But at the same time, seems like kind of a standard ejectionable offense.
Mm-hmm.
But
also,
maybe
he just had a crush on her. Like, that's what kids do.
You know, that's true. she better get used to it.
Yeah.
She shouldn't have worn. She shouldn't have worn that Phoenix Suns jersey.
Hey, no.
She was asking.
No. I bet. I'm just saying. Maybe he wanted to hand her a note that said, "If you like me, check yes. If not, check no." And she wouldn't take it. All right. That was annoying. Fans are the worst. I can't handle it anymore. I don't want to be. I'm a Golden State Warrior fan, but I no longer identify as one.
Oh wow!
After everyone's behavior in this Grizzlies series, Suns.
Shame
fans.
On you! Shame on you, Suns. Well, shame on you, Chris Paul. Shame on you, that kid.
Suns. Yeah.
Shame on you, Dylan Brooks. Shame on you, every Warrior fan.
Yeah, every Warrior
shame
fan,
on you,
every
Taylor Jenkins,
every Memphis Grizzlies fan, like
every Sixers fan.
Yeah.
It kind of seems like the Heat fans are like weirdly laid back about things.
Well,
like
they don't show up till the third quarter. So
traffic's really bad for DJ Khaled, Joey. I don't know. It's weird that seems to be a line of attack from Sixers
but
people
also, like,
too.
Is, yesterday, media people were just fighting with each other about like
right.
stealing segments, like
And
then
also
media people were fighting about like the amount of low level Warriors media fighting Memphis media is like so embarrassing. Like who cares?
Yeah, like a beat writer fighting.
Like a
sideline report. Yeah. Well, the racist
weatherman deserved it.
He kind of came in off the turnbuckle, but yeah, it was like a low level Warriors beat writer and literally the sideline reporter for the Grizzlies. Like you just don't have to engage in that. It's not like, and I will say, props to Kareth Burke for staying above the fray for the Warriors. Good
also,
job.
Also, props to Ray Ratto for dunking on John Hollinger today. All right. That was the Bay Area's one win today. Anyway.
The one weird thing in the MVP vote.
Oh yeah.
I mean, all of it was
that.
Like
sorry,
but like LeBron got a fifth place vote. Who watched that season and was like fifth best player in the NBA? Number five.
It's one of the many Lakers freaks.
Oh yeah, it's so weird.
I just thought
he had a great year.
Yeah. Like, look, Lakers freaks trump all. That's the weirdest thing about the Lakers. There is no in between. Lakers fans are either the best basketball fan you'll ever meet or the worst basketball fan you ever meet. There's no like, this guy's just whatever. He sort of knows what he's talking about. It's either like, it's crazy. All right. Anyway, Sean, do you want to talk about the ride?
Yeah. So our friend of the pod, Marquise Chris, a.k.a. The Ride, tried to fight Bismack Biyombo in a tunnel. Now, Joey, off the top of your head, did you remember which playoff teams these guys were on?
I have to be honest. I did remember Bismack Biyombo was on the... I did know Bismack Biyombo was on the Suns, but I did not remember.
No, and I thought of him as a Sun, and so I was kind of confused, and I was like, did the Mavs get Bismack Biyombo? I thought he was on the Suns. And then... So he tried to fight Bismack Biyombo in a tunnel. Yeah. In a tunnel.
That's great.
These two guys.
Mm-hmm. A perpetual 21-year-old and a perpetual 38-year-old.
Yeah, they've never... One's never going to be old. One's never been young.
Yeah.
And it... Now, unfortunately, I can't get behind the impetus for this, which was Biyombo breaking the code by dunking with a few seconds left.
No more codes.
And Chris fouling him. But then he followed him into a tunnel and they tried to fight. But I don't think he landed that. Joey, do you remember when we saw Marquise Chris?
Yeah. And we called him, our friend Julian Rodriguez gave him the nickname The Ride.
Yeah.
During this game. Do you want to explain why?
Because so much happened all the time. Mm-hmm. I think he missed two breakaway dunks, and he tried to do like a dunk contest dunk every time. He did do one of the best dunks I've ever seen live. It happened maybe 4 seconds after the shot clock went off. Yeah. He committed, I thought it was maybe even, you're supposed to foul out with 10 fouls, and I think they might have let him play
this was
long.
Before they let, it used to be unlimited fouls.
So I think
they made the rule
12.
Because of this. Yeah, I think it was 12 fouls.
Yeah, I think he committed 12 fouls. He almost got into a fight. He would block a shot on one end and then he would fall down untouched on the other end. He would sink a three and then a three would go off like the side of the backboard. It was always something was happening with Marcus.
Who did he
Chris.
Try and fight? He tried to fight someone weird.
It was weird. It was not, at first I thought it was Mo Wagner, but it's not. Mm-hmm. He fought the two Eastern European guys on the Nets at the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it was Rodion's Kourouks. So
yeah,
it turned out he was right. Because that guy is a bad guy. All right.
He's a bad guy. Props to Mo Wagner. And Joey, I think you said what Marquise Chris's destiny was.
I said that at the point we were watching this game, I said his destiny was to start a bench clearing brawl during a basketball game in the Philippines.
Uh-huh.
But yep. Now, you know what I think his destiny should have been?
What's that?
Is starting for the Golden State Warriors in the NBA playoffs. But too bad James Wiseman needed that roster spot. All right, Sean.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about Mr. Doesn't Go Down on Women?
Yeah, DJ Khaled. He's a big Heat fan. He was sitting with his family, and he hustled to pick up a loose ball that went into the crowd, which was very funny. Like, I had not really seen DJ Khaled run before. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he got the ball. He handed the ball. He got it back. And then before he sat down, he started massaging Eric Spoelstra's shoulders. Mm-hmm. Now, Joey, I have a question. Why did this look so wholesome? And yet when Drake did it to Nick Nurse, it felt perverse.
I think it's because, look, I don't like DJ Khaled, but he's jolly, you know?
He's like a cartoon, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Where
I can't
both Nick Nurse and Drake are like cartoonishly unsettling.
They don't seem wholesome.
No.
Whereas DJ Khaled, I wouldn't say I'm a fan, but also he is such a like famous person that I associate nothing with. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Except one thing, but like
not going down
playing,
on women.
Not playing, yeah. Well, not playing yourself by going down on women. Yeah, now, do you think his wife is upset that he is willing to be so physically affectionate with Eric Spoelstra, but not to go down on her?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So too. Okay, Joey, I'm springing this on you. I want you to give me a quick lightning round of your dream courtside fan coach back rub pairings.
Okay, the first one, I'm going with an extra creepy one.
Okay.
I'm going creepy. I want, this is the most unsettling one I can think of. I want, so it's the first quarter in Warriors Grizzlies.
Okay.
The Warriors are down 35-17. Because
it's the first quarter. That's what they do.
It's the first quarter, and their big answer was to start Damian Lee.
Oh, not the youngest player to ever start an NBA playoff game repeatedly, and then to not come in after that. Okay,
yeah. They've started Damian Lee, and it didn't. They didn't fix anything.
It didn't,
because
didn't
that's
work.
Absolutely, okay. What's going to happen on Friday? And Mike Brown is really, he calls a timeout. He's going to give it. And Joe Lacob just gets up from his courtside seat and starts massaging Mike Brown's shoulders.
I hate that. Hate that.
Uh-huh.
Here's one that I think, okay, this is, it's a Dallas game. The Suns and four guy is repeatedly trying to get Boban Marjanovic's wife to give him a high five. Mm-hmm. And she's done it a few times, but he keeps forgetting because he's so high. Mm-hmm. Anyway, in a timeout where he's about to be moved to another seat, Mark Cuban slinks out of his courtside seat and starts giving Jason Kidd like a shiatsu massage where he's like really karate chopping him. And you can tell it hurts, but you can tell Kidd also doesn't want to get fired. And it's just super awkward. And Cuban just keeps going, relax, relax. This is the future.
See, I had a Mark Cuban one too.
Okay.
But it's, I need to go back in time for it because it's not for Jason Kidd.
Oh,
So I want Mark Cuban. So you know those guys in the mall that have those like head scratchers and try and get you to like at their kiosk and try and get you to buy the head scratcher by like using it on your girlfriend when you're 17 years old. And it's weird and creepy. I want Mark Cuban to explain, to grab the mic during a timeout and explain that he just bought the head scratcher company on Shark Tank and try and sell it to the arena by using it on Rick Carlisle.
Oh, that's very unpleasant.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Okay. Here's one for me. Okay. Tight game. Mm-hmm. Boston's up a point.
Bill Simmons
on the Bucks.
Yeah.
And then Coach Bud calls a timeout. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Rodgers comes out.
Oh no!
And he has a glass full of clay, and he tries to forcibly make Mike Budenholzer drink the clay because Shailene Woodley says it helps his decision making.
Great.
And
I think there's one fan we can all agree on. I think there's one courtside fan we can all agree on. That everyone would, the only other person other than DJ Khaled, that everyone would be okay with him getting up and giving anyone a massage in, and that is Guy Fieri.
Oh yeah, Guy
everyone
Fieri.
Would love, I mean, that.
Come to Pleasure Town, everybody. Yeah. I would also like to see Mr. Whammy, that really old Nets fan.
You always
like, surprised.
Love talking about Mr. Whammy, dude.
I hate
this
Mr.
Is two
Whammy.
Two episodes in a row, Mr. Whammy's come up.
Yeah. Anyway, I could see him trying to massage Kevin Durant's shoulders and Kevin Durant like spinning around surprised and just elbowing him like right in the forehead. And he never whams again.
All right, Sean, that's our episode. It turns out we ran out of time, so we don't have to talk about the Warriors losing by 45 points to the...
Wait, that game happened?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I was watching, I woke up for the end of the Bucks-Celtics game, and then I guess I just woke up on the floor. And they had just soccer on.
Sean, that's our episode. Did you write a song?
I did write a song. It's called I Did It With My Friend. Oh no.
The rule is when the song plays, we have to talk about it.
About the playoffs. Oh man. All right. Gosh. I am getting kind of fired up though.
All right, Sean, should we start with it?
Let's start with it.
Okay. Sean, the Warriors were up 3-1 going into tonight's game.
Yes, after a stellar performance in game 4.
No, they were terrible. They just sort of won at the end because Dylan Brooks was worse. Wait, pause for Mark Jones.
For the Indiana Pacers today, it's all about expunging.
All right.
I like that he just says expunging.
And... Well, it's because I cut it. Oh,
okay. I don't know why I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, and now they're down 3-2. And, not much to
they're
say about
tonight.
They're up
3-2. They're up 3-2. They are ahead in the series.
It doesn't feel like it.
Well, because at one point... What was the biggest lead Memphis had? Were they up 50?
They were up 50 at one point. Yeah, I believe they were. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. So what's weird is this game actually, considering the final score, was, you know, the Warriors weren't playing well or anything, but it was relatively close. And then
the third quarter happened.
No, it was
because they were down by 30 at the half, I guess. But then,
well, they basically what happened in the first quarter was there was the Grizzlies started hot, and then they shot 7 of 12 from 3-point range. You know, that's
I'm
going to
say, knew they were in trouble the second I saw Zaire Williams. I was
That was powerful.
Zaire Williams is tight. He's going to be so good, I think. Anyway, keep going.
The props to Keith Parrish of the Fast Break Breakfast podcast.
Who's at the game?
His adopted son, DeAnthony Melton. Led a 9-0 run at the end of the first quarter. So the Warriors did trail by 10 going into the quarter, but it looked like they were, you know, right in the shit.
But then Dylan Brooks got hurt.
Oh, that's what happened.
Yeah, Dylan Brooks grabbed his hamstring, and then they put in DeAnthony Melton.
Thompson hit a three that, like, it wasn't...
I do want to say... I knew we were in trouble. I'm on the team. I knew the Golden State Warriors were in trouble. But an entire quarter had gone by and only Klay Thompson had shot the ball, basically.
Steph Curry did not take a shot
until 2 minutes left in the first.
He made 2 threes in a row, basically. With 3 minutes left.
Yeah, yeah.
But the end of the quarter, they just got killed. And then I was like, oh, well, Memphis is shooting pretty hot from outside. Mm-hmm. And then in the second quarter, Memphis didn't really have to shoot any threes at all. They just kept getting layup after layup. And there was a run in this game where Memphis went on a 14-0 run in the second quarter, and then they extended it to a 28-4 run. I saw someone tweet that it was a 31-4 run. Maybe I was counting wrong, but I had it at only 28-4, Joey.
Well,
but
Sean, yeah, I have a crazier stat for you. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
From the 4:58 mark of the second quarter to the 0:08 mark with 8 seconds left to go of the third quarter. The Grizzlies had 20 made field goals and 0 turnovers.
Okay.
The Warriors had 6 made field goals and 11 turnovers, and it was a 62-18 run.
Oh my God!
That comes from Keith Parrish.
That is an incredible break
breakfast.
Well, congratulations. Basketball Reference didn't have the play-by-play up, and I thought that maybe I had dreamed the game, but actually, all it is it's 2:30 in the morning in America and 10:30 in the morning. Oh, sorry, it's 12:30 in the afternoon here. Oh, boy.
Sean, I didn't get to finish my thought. I knew the Warriors were in trouble because anytime Klay Thompson doesn't let anyone else on the team shoot for, like, a really long time, you're in trouble because it means he's going to keep shooting. And also, he doesn't play a lot of defense anymore, and he's just going to be thinking about shooting some more.
I mean, yeah, he kind of didn't take that many shots.
To start the game, he did, is what I mean. Like, I don't know, man.
I did not have a problem with his initial offense in this game, but yeah, no, but he was terrible.
Huge problem with his defense and game.
He was terrible. So he clearly cannot guard a two anymore. Can't do it this season. Maybe he will be able to do that sometime in the future. But he kept doing things like just leaving a 3-point shooter for no reason.
Yeah.
Or they would befuddle him on like a give and go.
Yeah.
The guy would give and go, and Klay would be 3 steps late in reacting to it. It was completely strange.
And then Draymond did that thing where he turned the ball over a million times and also didn't look that locked in on defense. But
did you? Yeah,
I'm going to give Draymond a pass for his last, because his best friend got murdered.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it.
Well, Joey, it's the playoffs. There's no excuse. Look, Joey, I know the rules. We'll get to this when we talk about Embiid later. No excuses. No. Also, it was very nice that he donated, is starting a fund for his murdered friend.
We forgot to mention Steve Kerr has COVID.
Steve Kerr has COVID. Mike Brown is no longer undefeated as the Warriors coach. The Sacramento Kings, the greatest moment in Sacramento Kings playoff history in the last 15 years, was followed by one of the worst moments in Sacramento Kings playoff history. I have to say, somehow they're not even in the playoffs, but the Kings got beat by 39 points. Mm-hmm. The Kings, you know what it is? Steph Curry tried to be funny. He said after game 4, he said it felt like he'd been traded to they'd all been traded to the Sacramento Kings all night. Then before game 5, he said the Warriors were going to whoop that trick.
So dumb.
That's not his wheelhouse.
No,
Steph. Just mention the Lord. You know you want to mention the Lord. The Lord doesn't like it when you say whoop that trick. He's your friend. He's been hooking you up for this long. Just give it up for the Lord is all I'm saying. I don't know why I'm encouraging that, and yet I am.
I know what? I don't even want him to do that. Just talk about, just say holy moly. 8 p.m.
Holy
on
moly,
ABC.
Yeah. Invite those Muppets in there.
I said this, Sean. I tweeted this. I'm sorry to be a person reading a tweet.
Wow. Okay.
But I did say earlier tonight when I saw the whoop that trick thing, I said it's hard to be the hardest thing about being a Steph Curry fan is 5 times a year he does the most embarrassing thing any human has ever done.
It's true.
Yeah. So, I guess the whoop that trick thing is better than the push.
I mean, that one's
the horny game show thing in the middle of the All-Star game, probably.
That was worse. The game, the
shoes were the worst, though, right? In the 2016.
Oh, those shoes coming out, and everyone making fun of the shoes, and then they blew the lead.
And
yeah,
they blew all the leads, and then his wife tweeted that the league was rigged.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing how much the Warriors like to start an unlikely starter in the playoffs and then pull him after a few minutes, never to be put again. It's crazy. Like, remember, I mean, he started Damian Jones in the finals, right? Like, he hadn't played all year or something?
Hold on. Our friend Brady tweeted this. Hold on. The list of all of them. All right, so Brady tweeted, dismissing injuries, the Warriors have started a player in the playoffs, but played them 10 or fewer minutes 14 times since the 14-15 season. Would have been 15 tonight if there weren't 20 minutes of garbage time because Kuminga got it. So, Andrew Bogut, in 2016, played 10 minutes.
Oh, right. They did pull him. He didn't get hurt till game five.
Yeah. And then in 2017, during the Western Conference Finals against Portland, Zaza Pachulia played 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
In game five of the finals against Cleveland in 2017, Zaza Pachulia played 10 minutes.
Okay.
In game four, game five of the 2016 Western Conference semifinals, Andrew Bogut played 9 minutes against the Portland Trailblazers. In game three of the 2018 Western Conference semis against New Orleans, JaVale McGee played 9 minutes. game two of the Western Conference semis in 2017 against the Utah Jazz, Zaza Pachulia played 9 minutes. In game three of the Western Conference first round against the Denver Nuggets, this year, Kevon Looney played 9 minutes. I don't even remember why that one happened.
Wait, which game was it?
Game three.
Oh, he was just he probably racked. I think he racked trouble, up like four fouls. I mean, he played a somewhat normal rotation. He just picked up two very quick fouls. Yeah.
All right. In 2019, Andrew Bogut in the Western Conference game one played 8 minutes. The finals in 2016, game five, Andrew Bogut gets hurt, but he played 8 minutes.
Okay.
Zaza Pachulia in the Western Conference Finals against the San Antonio Spurs in game two played 7 minutes.
Yeah, it's because they were throwing trash at him. It was a home game. It was crazy.
In game four of the Western Conference semis in 2022, Jonathan Kuminga played 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
The first round of the 2019 playoffs against the Clippers in game two, DeMarcus Cousins played 4 minutes and started. Bogut in the Western Conference Finals in 2019 in game two played 4 minutes. Gary Payton, too, very sad, played 3 minutes in game two of this series. And in the Western Conference Finals... against Portland in game three in 2019, after Andrew Bogut had played all these 9 minute games, Damian Jones started and played 3 minutes the entire game.
That was the weirdest. That was the weirdest. He hadn't played all season. Which game was that again? I just want to look.
It was game three, I think it said. Yeah, game three.
Just incredibly weird. They fell behind like a huge amount too.
Yeah, they fell behind in every game in that series. They were down by 20 at the half of every game of that series, I think.
They fell behind by at least 15. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was such a weird choice.
Sean, here's what I'm going to say right now. I will say, as a Golden State Warriors fan, I am at least I'm mentally prepared for them to blow a 3-1 lead, right? I've been there before. Everybody talks about how the Warriors are going to win this series because they have championship DNA, right? They're the most prepared, but you know what? They also have blowing 3-1 lead DNA.
I mean, they're usually not very prepared. Like they're a terrible first quarter team. I don't really know why that is, but it clearly is.
I actually kind of have a theory.
Okay.
I think Steph is too selfless.
Are you saying often, maybe he shouldn't go 8 minutes without shooting?
Yes.
Because he's the best player on the team.
And also, I would say in general, the Golden State Warriors should stop running 3-man weaves at the top of the key when everyone knows where the ball is going, and then they just steal it.
Wait, are you saying that even when, I mean, there were a lot of moments when Draymond Green caught the ball at the free throw line and every defender went to steal the pass they knew was coming. Yeah. I don't understand why he won't take a free throw. He shoots free throws fine.
I don't understand why they don't run a play where Steph Curry just
gets the ball,
just dribbles around Steven Adams, because
yeah, it seems like that is a good advantage for them. I mean, to me, I don't know. I'm just a lowly Qatari in my adopted country, trying to make sense of this crazy world. People are playing the pass on Draymond, by the way. Also, you know what is not that helpful as an offense? When there's someone just dribbling at the top of the circle, pointing to a direction where someone's supposed to go, and then they go there and set a half-assed screen, and then there's only 6 minutes to shoot. They ran that play 20 times. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't know where to go yet, guys? Should we simplify things? What's going on here?
Also, my favorite thing that's happening right now is on Warriors Twitter, and Warriors talking heads are all talking about how bad the and the coaches even are like, the Kuminga lineup is not good. And it makes it sound like it's Jonathan Kuminga's fault, and it's everyone but his? Like, because he's not doing anything. He's playing 5 minutes and then getting benched the entire game.
I mean, he is not playing good defense.
No,
that for sure. But at the same time,
but if you're going to put him in the game, why are you having him just stand in the corner for the whole 5 minutes?
Like why are you starting him at all?
I don't know.
There's no one. I mean, he again is like the youngest person to start a playoff game in 50 years, and that is being treated as if it is like an impressive milestone, instead of being like a historically bad idea. Just don't start him. They're starting Steven Adams. Play the guy
play
you
Kevin
started.
Looney? Yeah, 81
the guy
games?
You started 70. Yeah, like
he started 81 games. There was one game he didn't start, and it like broke his streak.
I mean, he did play every game, so congratulations on playing every game. But yeah, I don't know. The worst thing that happened to the Warriors' playoff run is people losing their minds about a gimmicky lineup. He only started 80 games. I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
But everybody lost their minds over a gimmicky lineup. And then didn't think like it's just a weird thing when it was, you know, they twice waited and then brought in this lineup at the end of the second quarter where it could really surprise people. People are a little worn down. And then instead, when they were like, wow, we got some really good minutes out of that, let's throw everything into chaos and start that lineup now. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, wait, but they kind of haven't started before. It's sort of not the rhythm. We're doing it. We're starting that lineup because people have nicknames, god damn it, and we need to reward those nicknames.
But also, you know what would make that lineup continually potent still? Ran a play where Steph Curry was on one side of the court and Klay Thompson was on the other side of the court.
No.
And Jordan Poole had the ball and someone set a screen for him.
No. You get it to Clay. You get him on the baseline. You have him take have that him Dirk Nowitzki up. Shot. Yeah, the Dirk Nowitzki. Everybody loves that play.
Anyway, we've talked about the worst series.
Sorry. Yeah, it did the worst game. Joey, what's your prediction for game six?
I kind of think the Warriors are going to lose another one.
Wow. I mean, do you think they're going to lose the series?
No. I think they
they're going to win game seven in Memphis, but lose game six I do in think San Francisco?
That's what's going to happen, yeah.
You should bet that.
Look, here's what happened, man. Remember when the playoffs are mirroring the regular season? Because do you remember when at the beginning of the season, they're back? There's championship favorites. Like it's them and the Suns. It's them and the Suns. And then Klay Thompson came back, and then they were like the worst basketball team I've had to watch in a long, long time for three straight months after February.
I mean, so you think this is going to, and then they're going to put it together at the end?
No, I think they're going to get the shit kicked out of them by the Phoenix Suns.
I meant at the end of this series.
Yeah, but I do think there'll be one game where, like, Draymond will do something. It'll be really close. Draymond will do something cool on defense, and then Steph Curry will hit 1-3. Mm-hmm. He'll somehow have shot 3 for 18. Like, the Grizzlies are amazing and they're super tough, but they still don't have that much get them over the hump. It would be cool if they're cool. But some of them are. What do you think's gonna happen, Sean?
I think they're gonna win game six.
Okay.
I mean, I just don't
trust this team to not fuck around, and they think they're winning game six already. That's why they lost game five.
I don't think that is going to be their attitude after this game that just happened.
Hopefully not.
I mean, I'm just saying by what you generally, I mean, I feel like the working theory of the Warriors is when they are overconfident, they get very sloppy and they lose. If anything is going to shake their overconfidence, it should be a game like this. And also, I mean, maybe someone will maybe tap the brakes on Klay Thompson's dribbling a little bit.
Here's what I think they should do. I think they should
maybe make like a couple adjustments.
Here's what I think they should do before the game on Friday. They should name Kenny Atkinson the head coach of that game.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Well, does he have to be hired as the Lakers coach before that?
All right, Sean, let's talk about Bucks-Celtics. Drew Holiday made one of the most amazing defensive plays I've seen ever in a playoff game to win the game tonight, 3-2. The Celtics led for, like, the majority of the game. Giannis was awesome. Bobby Portis wasn't playing that well for the majority of the game, even blew like a layup that would have had them go ahead near the end there, but then rebounded a missed Giannis free throw to essentially win the game. Sean, my question for you.
Yes.
Whoever wins this series is winning the NBA Finals, right? Kind of feels that way, doesn't it? Wow,
the disrespect you have for our friend, the Suns and Four guy, and for Heat culture itself, DJ Khaled would say, hey, you just played yourself, Joey.
I mean, maybe I did, but it feels that way. Should. It feels the other teams are playing real bad, and these two teams are playing really good.
I mean, I think the Bucks are going to win. I still am not, but I think the Suns would beat the Celtics.
And you don't think Al Horford has more of this in him?
I mean, he might have more of this in him, but he doesn't have youth. That's the thing that might limit him.
You know what I will say, though, is if I were an NBA team, you know how Moneyball is less about the book. Moneyball is less about walks and home runs and more about finding the thing that's cheap.
Yes,
I would say I think the market inefficiency in basketball right now is trading for the old guy the Thunder traded for.
Oh, yeah. So that could be it's Chris Paul. It's Al Horford. Wow.
I think
not Kemba Walker, though.
You never know. Maybe next year. Because it takes a season, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'd put Kemba Walker on my books, baby. That's all I'm saying. Yes. Whatever the Thunder are doing are making these old guys play real well after they've mm-hmm. been there.
After they looked
dead.
Well, you know, what it reminds you, you could go to Oklahoma City. You need to appreciate the nice places you are. Mm-hmm. What's up?
You know who would be helping the Sixers against the Heat right now?
Who?
Al Horford.
Oh, weird. You know who else would be helping the Sixers right now? Jrue Holiday.
Yeah, well. Anyway, this series has been awesome.
Who needs a 23-year-old all-star anyway?
My question for you is, this series has been awesome, even though the Celtics have won some games, and that is the worst thing that happens in the NBA, uh-huh. obviously.
Oh, no, I mean, like, lots of great finishes. Yeah.
Are we going to get a better series the rest of the playoffs?
Just by virtue of not taking place in Boston, I'm going to hold out hope. However, that does mean that Bill Simmons and his dad will not be watching their favorite player collapse.
If you're looking for a pick me up, look for the screenshot of Jrue Holiday blocking the Marcus Smart layup. Because you can see Bill Simmons being very sad in the background.
You can also see a very small part of his father's distinctive mustache.
Yep. All right, Sean, who you got? Are the Bucks going to close it out?
I think the Bucks close it out in the Garden, Joey.
I think the Celtics are getting another game. I think this is very obviously a 7-game series.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They have home court.
Yeah.
I would take the Bucks too, but it's like a coin flip. Unfortunately, I have a lot of faith in the Celtics defense.
I mean, maybe. I just love that the invincibility of Boston Garden, like it's, I mean, or the TD Nord Center or whatever they're calling it, where they've just lost a lot of big games mm-hmm. in the last 10 years. LeBron game, the last game of the 2018 conference mm-hmm. finals. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to see it happen again.
I
want those great fans. Yeah.
Unfortunately, Grant Williams, Al Horford is Rob Williams is a pretty tight front court rotation. All right, Heat Sixers, you got anything to say, Sean? Joel Embiid is back.
I mean, Jimmy, it's weird that I feel like this series is sort of it's because the Sixers are involved that like everything they're in is kind of poisoned. Now, first mm-hmm. of all, Joel Embiid, there are only two positions to take mm-hmm. on this, right? Which is that either he is not playing tough enough mm-hmm. With his broken face, mm-hmm. and he needs to step up and be the MVP. And then the other position is if he plays a single minute more, he will be blinded for life.
Why is he playing Jordan Poole? the dirtiest player in the NBA. I don't even really know what to say about that. I don't have either position. I assume Joel Embiid knows his body and is okay to play, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he is an adult man. He's not. I mean,
it's not like he wants the Warriors forced Kevin Durant at gunpoint to play in the NBA Finals.
Uh-huh. Or that time that the Rockets tried to make Royce White pay child support.
All right. We don't need to talk about Royce White.
He's okay. You don't need to tweet in defense.
Also, he was like, really good. His defense was fucking awesome.
Yeah, he's clearly uncomfortable, but yeah. He's not going to end up blind.
I would say the biggest factor to the Sixers winning this last game, though, was Kyle Lowry looked terrible.
Yeah, well, he has a pulled hamstring.
I know. I'm saying he shouldn't be playing.
Oh, yeah, I mean, but
not to be the like, he might be blinded for life guy, but I was like, Kyle, take a breather. Yeah. You don't need to do this to yourself, man. That one hamstring can't hold that big ass.
That's a good point. But I mean, I will say this kind of is where you do have to do that to yourself. Right. But no, I get what you're saying. He's just hurt.
They got Victor Oladipo, baby.
Yeah, I mean they won by 35. How many minutes did Kyle Lowry play in that game?
I don't remember.
He didn't even play in that game.
No, it was the game before, sorry.
That's right. Okay. So he is sitting down. He's all right. He played 30 minutes in that game. That was too many minutes.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I was like, because I watched the other one. I've been very tired when these games are on. Fine. But I was like, oh, Kyle Lowry, he's not really playing too much. I don't know why everybody's freaking out so much. And then I didn't realize he played 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was the factor of the Sixers winning game four was Kyle Lowry was the one hamstring MVP for holding that up. He's holding up that donk.
Oh my gosh.
What's gonna happen in game six today, Sean?
Do you got Jimmy Butler? Jimmy Butler's gonna continue to dominate this series, and they're gonna take it home. They're gonna do it in front of those Philly fans, those animals. Are gonna have to watch it happen.
Are they gonna dust off Duncan Robinson again?
I mean, he played
13 minutes.
Did he make any threes? One for three. That's not gonna do it, dude. No, dude, they're going to let Max Strus and Jimmy Butler lead him to the promised land.
I'm predicting a big Victor Oladipo game.
I mean, I could see it.
Shouts to B-Ball Paul, finally getting some run. Doc Rivers, you're a weirdo.
I mean, he's...
he insisted on when Embiid was hurt... on starting DeAndre Jordan and playing him so many minutes, and then Embiid came back and he benched. Now DeAndre Jordan doesn't play at all, and Paul Reed is officially the Embiid
backup. Yeah. Well, that's a tough one for DeAndre, but I'm sure he'll be released and then immediately signed with another team because
he's a good teammate and friend.
People love having him around, Joey. I can't. Look, what are you gonna say?
Look, what are you gonna stinks, do? But boy, could the Warriors use another center. All right, even a bad one.
They have a center. They're not playing.
No, I mean a second one.
Right. I'm just like, they're not playing the first one.
I know. Anyway,
it's weird.
All right, Sean, our final series.
Small ball, baby.
Let's talk about Luka. Luka versus CP.
Mm-hmm.
Suns are up 3-2. What's going to happen
finishing.
Tonight?
They're finishing it.
The Suns are going to win tonight.
They're going to win that game.
Valiant effort by the Mavs. It still feels like they need one more guy for Luka, though. But the rest of the guys are cool.
Luka just needs
a little bit more help.
The addition by subtraction went a very long way.
Yeah, I would actually say if they had Tim Hardaway Jr., this would probably be.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. And Luka's a little banged up, and one team is being coached by Monty Williams, and the other team is being coached by Jason Kidd. So again. Phoenix is very good. That's the that's the main thing. But at the same time, there's my Williams.
I mean, Monty Williams is just really paying Jason Kidd back for all the times he probably nutmegged him in a game, right? When he hit garbage time. all right. Sean, I think that's our episode.
I think it is, too. I got to go to Education City, buddy.
We should tell the listeners, you're not going to be on for the next 2 weeks. It's just going to be me. But I'm going to have some guest hosts.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry about that. You won't.
I showed a lot of faith. I showed a lot of faith in the Golden State Warriors. Leaving the country in May.
Or no faith at all. You assumed they were going to lose the play-in again based on how they were playing in February and March. Sean, is there anything you would like to say to our listeners before?
If I don't make it on this trip, remember that I did this journey for the people of Ukraine. Ukraine strong.
Okay, no.
Pleasant Hill strong. I want all my tweets to be donated to the Round Ball account. Mm-hmm. I would like to leave my Mike Dunleavy Jr. jersey to Joey Devine, who will throw it into. I was gonna say. Just burn it in my honor, because my body will not be recovered from the mountain. Mm-hmm. It'll live forever in the crevasse. I guess I was going to say free Tibet, but I'm not going to be in Tibet. Continue to keep Nepal free, you know?
Uh-huh.
Those are my messages for you, the listeners. And also, the finals MVP is not going to be Steph Curry, no matter what.
Yeah, it's true.
Even if the Warriors win the title.
It's
not going to be Steph.
You know who it would be? It's going to be
Jonathan Kuminga.
No, it'll be Jordan Poole if they win the title.
What about Steph Curry? What about Klay Thompson?
No, it'll be Jordan Poole. Because when they look good, Jordan Poole looks the best. You know, he's like the new toy.
People are going to be able to figure it out. Yeah.
Anyway, what are the chances Andre Iguodala surprise plays on game six on Friday?
Like 70%.
I think so too.
It'll be so good. It's going to be so good. He's going to be the second round MVP if he does.
As for me, you can always follow me on at Frankie Muniz, where, look, I've never felt more like Frankie Muniz than thinking and watching this Golden State Warriors game today. And I think the thing that would sum it up the most is on 10/14/14, I tweeted, "Electrical fire. Great."
Amazing.
Sean, did you write a song?
I did. It's a song about the playoffs. I called up my good friends, the Gallagher brothers, and I recorded a song called "What's the Story, Robert Horry."
All right. That's playing under us now. Big Shot Bob would love it. Shouts to you, Sean. Enjoy your vacation. Round Ball Rock listeners, I love you very much. How do I end this show? Shut it down.
Trust the process.
And, shut it down. Let's all, I don't know. I really want this Memphis Golden State series to be over because it's been a slog. It's like the opposite of the very cool Milwaukee self Boston. Hated every game. I hate the tenor around it. I hate the conversation. Yeah.
All the shots were made in the most crucial moments of a playoff game. He's got more rings than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar can see. Another Lakers victory. Dunking on Vlade and drilling a three. Left when they signed Malone, Shaq and Kobe just won three. He doesn't need much space to make them. She left an ending shot, but made them. He's out there on the arc to make them. He got a little fine for trying to fight. Sabalos jet skiing, and it was time to sail. What's the story, Robert Horry? Sail. got a little fun for trying to buy the Stackhouse set. What's the story, Robert Horry Sam? He got a little fun for hip checks, hip checks. He's not a guy that Phoenix wants to see. And oh, I wish I fouled out. Nick chop off his daggers to knock Philly out. One time he shot the kind of man who worked on TNT. The different type of seven titles. Stole the ball seven times in one game in the finals. I think that she's his biggest rival. He took a lot of time to trim his beard. Or he was loved, but we think he was mostly thin. What's the story, Robert Horry? Well, got thrown into a trade for Barkley. Well, what's the story, Robert Horry? Well, his championship rings are sparkly, sparkly. Well, what's the story, Robert Horry?
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.